The scripture passage this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Sorry, I don't have the page number in the pew Bible. The pew Bible. But Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Worry, anxiety, being uptight, being distracted by the cares of the world. We're familiar with these things. It's something that plagues most of us, at least some of the time. Worry is a combination of unhealthy dread, despair, and a distorted imagination. It's been called by some the misery habit, and it is habit forming. Worry comes from a word that means a divided mind, a tug of war that goes on inside us, the known against the unknown, security against insecurity. A word that we sometimes associate with worry is the word fear. But while these are similar, they are not synonymous. Fear is a perfectly healthy and natural emotion, a good and normal response to a real problem. That is, there's an actual danger or problem that one fears. Fear can be creative and God-given. It can protect us from dangerous consequences. For example, we should fear a deep body of water if we can't swim. Fear is appropriate there. We should fear fire because it can burn us. But worry, in and of itself, is not creative, not healthy, not God-given, because it is usually based on getting things out of proportion. its causes may be more imagined than real. It destroys our concentration. It drains us of our physical and emotional energies. Many decisions and situations that we face each day cause us worry and anxiety. We're called on to make decisions regarding the use of our time, our energy, our money, our talents, decisions regarding the welfare of other people, decisions that will shape the course of our future. So we're not completely carefree. And in the course of planning and living our lives, we do experience a certain amount of anxiety and care. But when that worry and that anxiety begins to affect our normal functioning, when it causes us to concentrate more on ourselves and our problems than we do then when we concentrate on God and His care for us, then worry and anxiety becomes dangerous and harmful. And it can even become wrong for us. Ian McLaren once said, "What does your anxiety do? It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. It does not make you escape whatever it is you're anxious about, but it makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes." Our scripture passage this morning speaks against agitated worry, and it admonishes us not to be distracted by all the cares of the world. What are some of the failings of excessive anxiety and worry? Well, first of all, worry and anxiety are unnecessary. Unnecessary. Some of the things we worry about simply do not deserve as much attention as we give them. How much time and energy do we waste in anxious anticipation of what lies ahead? We predict misfortune for ourselves and those we love. Oh, we're going to fail the test. We're going to get an F on our paper. We fear turning 40 or 50 or 65 or 75. I've had to up that age as time has gone on. We worry about possible illness or accident. We worry about and anticipate the possible loss of our job or our home or our investments. Now, it's not that those things are unimportant. Those things are important. But our Christian faith speaks of a life that is not controlled by worry. The psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord, do good, commit your way to the Lord." Verse 25 of our passage in Matthew says, "Do not worry. Do not be anxious about your life. Don't be disturbed. Don't fret." In essence, don't be preoccupied with worry. But isn't that what happens? If you think about it, when we're worried, that's basically all we can think about. Everything else is crowded out of our minds except that one thing that is causing us worry and anxiety. In today's language, Jesus simply says, don't go to pieces. Don't fall apart. Try to deal with your problems and situations for what they are. And in fact, when we worry and when it really gets a hold of us, it usually causes more problems than we start out with. Our problems are multiplied when we worry. And the worrying becomes part of the problem. You know, a lot of what we worry about never happens. Usually, the actual experiences of life are never as bad as the distress we have beforehand. In the midst of our anxiety, when we're all caught up in our worry, we forget about the sources of comfort that God will supply us with for each new day. So Jesus says, don't go to pieces, because first of all, it's unnecessary. Second, worry and anxiety are futile. Futile. That is, nothing is gained or added to our life because of worry. Verse 27 states, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? You are not going to have a longer life by worrying. In fact, anxiety is more likely to shorten life than lengthen it. I think there is some truth to the old saying, worrying yourself to death. Jesus in the passage points to some examples in nature, the lilies of the field and the birds. Look at the birds, he says. They don't worry about how they'll get along. God takes care of them. Don't you think he'll also take care of you? This is not a veto against wise planning and decision making. In fact, one of the main troubles with the average worrier is the inability to make decisions. Jesus did not prescribe indifference to material things, nor did he encourage idleness. That's not why he mentioned the birds. The birds exemplify freedom from anxiety. If God cares for the birds, then we can be assured of his care for us. If God gives life, he can also sustain it. We are called to trust God with a whole and undivided heart. Worry is futile. We gain nothing by it. And then perhaps the most serious charge against worry and anxiety is that they can be destructive. Destructive. Excessive worry is destructive to us emotionally and physically and spiritually. Worry can deprive us of the joy that God means for us to have. It is very difficult to be joyful when we're anxious and tense and worrying. Keeping us from experiencing the fullness and abundance of relationship with Christ. Worry and anxiety can be destructive of even that most precious relationship, a relationship with God through Christ. The passage says we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that we spend time worrying and agonizing over, all those other things will take care of themselves. Henry Drummond used to say to his theology students, "Do not touch Christianity unless you are willing to seek the kingdom of heaven first." And then he said, "For I promise you a miserable existence if you seek it second." Allowing worry to take the place of first seeking the kingdom, therefore, is destructive. How then can we live without the burden of anxiety? What do we do about worry? Now, I realize that there are some with the conditions that they have that can't help it, that they worry. But most of us can do better than we do about worry and anxiety. One Christian counselor suggests a threefold method, and the first is limit your load of worry. Limit or reduce our load of worry. Take a look backward at the persons and events that have recently worried you. How much of it actually came to pass? Did the way you imagine it, was that the way it actually turned out? Some of it probably never even happened. And what did happen that you were worrying about did not prove catastrophic. You survived it. You came through it. J. Arthur Rank had an interesting philosophy that he followed. When he realized that he didn't have what it took to overcome his troubles, and he was starting to worry about it, he decided that the next best thing was to try to postpone thinking about those troubles, to postpone it until his mind had cleared and his emotional makeup was back to normal. So when something disturbing occurred, he wrote it down on a card and would not dwell on it until some time had passed. Then, when he went back and looked at the difficulties that had been of such concern a week or so before, he found to his amazement that most of the things he was worried about had already disappeared, were no longer an issue, or they had been resolved. And he decided that a lot of his distress was an unnecessary waste of time and energy and loss of sleep, as God had stepped in and redirected things in a way he had never, ever imagined. Instead of worrying, maybe we need to try to do the opposite. Maybe we need to focus on rejoicing for what God has done in our lives and have a confidence that He will continue to do the same thing. Just about without exception, we find we don't need to be bothered with all the things that are making us anxious. That we don't need to devote so much time and energy and angst about the things that make us worried. Second, We need to spread out our load of worry. To spread out our load of worry. So that the legitimate, genuine causes of worry do not bring us down. Jesus counseled in verse 34, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Or another translation has, "Take one day at a time. It's tough enough as it is." Jesus here does not forbid foresight. He doesn't forbid looking ahead. But he does warn against letting tomorrow's troubles ruin today. We can't destroy ourselves by worrying over a future that we can't control. Jesus urged us to live today to the hilt and leave tomorrow to itself, and most particularly, to leave tomorrow to God. We experience something today which we feel like will make tomorrow be awful. We chew our nails, we pace the floor, we lose sleep. Tomorrow comes, and God is going to be there. And he will equip us to face whatever it is that may come our way. And then third, we are to share our load of worry. To share our load of worry with others and share it with God. Peter wrote in his epistle, "Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you." Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Some people would say that this sounds like giving up or evading our responsibility, cast them on God, evading our responsibility or doing nothing. I hope it does not sound like that to you. Having done our best, we are to take those cares and worries about which we can do nothing and leave them with God. And I will guarantee you, leaving our cares and worries with God is doing something about it. Placing it in God's hands is doing something about it. Sharing our worries and our cares with a God who wants us to give all our burdens over to him. When our worries build up and start to weigh us down, take them to God. He can handle them. And I dare say he can handle them better than we can. Our time's about up, but I want to briefly mention some scripture passages for you to remember. Passages to turn to when faced with worries and anxieties. A couple we've already mentioned, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, today's passage, beginning with "Do not worry about your life," and ending with "Each day has enough troubles of its own." And then 1 Peter 5, 7, I mentioned that. 1 Peter 5, 7, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Another passage is Isaiah 26, 3. This is from the Revised Standard Version. "Thou dost keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." something that we have a hard time with, learning to concentrate on God and being aware of the reality of His presence every single moment. There are many more. I'll mention only two. Psalm 37, 1 through 9. It's a passage that urges us to learn to trust the competence of God in all situations. And then Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and verse 13. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then for verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my favorite rendition of that verse by my favorite seminary professor, I have strength for all occasions in the one, capital O, in the one who gives me strength. What a promise that is. And you can count on it because we can count on Him. Worry, anxiety. We seek to turn it over to God, and He will give us that peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your assurances of your presence, your love, and your care. And you are there for us when we go through those times of worry, those times of anxiety. Thank you, Father, that you are there. I wonder if there are people who need to commit some care or worry or anxiety over to God. Perhaps you've tried to handle it yourself, or perhaps you've tried to turn it over to God and haven't been able to. I want to give you a moment in this time of silent prayer. Whatever that worry or that care, that anxiety might be, that you would turn it over to God just now. Father, I pray that you would lift the burden of worry, anxiety, care, that each of us would be willing to share that burden with you and let you take that worry, that anxiety from us. I thank you, Father, that you care for us and love us so much, and that you want to help us in this particular area, among many, this particular area of life. Thank you, Father, and we pray this prayer in your name. Amen.